Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
I know many of you know that I often speak on Mother's Day, but I felt this year that actually I felt God saying that you're meant to share one of the stories of the women of Beacon. And it's there are so many amazing women in Beacon. Like, I could have asked so many people to share, but I really sought God about, well, who is it that you want to share? And he brought Heidi's name to my mind, and I actually did text her, and you were very quick to respond because God had already almost forewarned you, hey? Like, he'd told her twice in the week. Do you want to share that story? He'd told you twice in the week previously to share your story, and then I asked you to share your story with the church.
It happened that it was my son's birthday on Easter Sunday, and he wanted to go to church twice. We were travelling to Sydney, so we ended up at two services, and both services said we need to share our testimonies that, you know, that helps others, so they're there to be shared.
Yes, and then when I asked her, she knew. Well, here's our moment. God's already asking us to share that. But the way that this came about is over the last couple of years, I've been part of a connect group here at Beacon and full of incredible women. And as I said, if you're sitting here thinking, I didn't realise there were so many incredible women at Beacon, join a connect group and you'll meet them. Honestly, there's some phenomenal connect groups happening, and as you go to these connect groups, you'll realise that there are some phenomenal women with some phenomenal life stories that are willing to walk you through your life journey as well. And anyway, in this particular connect group we were part of, we started sharing our stories, and we sort of nicknamed it Her Story, and every fortnight a different member of the group would share their story. And I will never forget the night. I'd actually already heard some of your story. We'd met and caught up, and I'd heard a bit of your story. But then you shared it again that night with our Connect group. And I remember for me personally, and this is the power of Connect groups, is for me personally, I was walking something at that moment. I actually, if my memory serves me correctly, I had just found out about my uncle's cancer diagnosis that many of you, you know, walked through with us last year. And I remember going to Connect group that night and thinking, I just need someone to speak faith into my life right now. And then there was Heidi sharing her story, and God just used her story to impact me that night, to encourage me, to comfort me, to inject faith into me. And so that's the power of sharing our testimonies. And so I've invited Heidi to share her story this morning. So if we take a seat, and or you can stand if you want, because you want to start by praying. So however you'd prefer to do that. Yep.
Sounds good. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be with us. Please touch everyone here with your goodness. Speak to us. Bring healing and blessing, all for your glory. And may my words be yours this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, do you want to start, I guess, by just telling us a little bit, set the story for us, tell us a little bit about your upbringing,
Thanks, Beck. I was the firstborn of two girls in Hamilton, New Zealand, which is a luscious dairy farming area. I was very blessed. I was born to a mother who was Anglican and a father who was Presbyterian. My grandparents lived across the street from church, and they locked up each day. My other grandfather, he moved over to live with my parents and our family when he was 98 years old, and I would hear him reciting the word and praying aloud every day. As we grew up, we read Bible stories. Our family went to church, we went to Sunday school, we said grace, and Mum prayed with us at bedtime, and she sang us to sleep, "To the Lord's my shepherd." My mum would say to me, "Heidi, your prayers work. Can you please pray for this or pray for that?" These words I held on to, and I believed my prayers work. But I want you to know your prayers work. God hears all our prayers. He hears our utterances, our whispers. He knows the things on our heart. He answers our prayers, although not always in the ways we might expect. The Word of God tells us that prayer works. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives.
So I love hearing that about your upbringing, because to know Heidi is to know that she's a prayer. I don't think you could know you without knowing that faith is actually just a cornerstone in your life. You are absolutely a prayer. And so I love hearing that even as a child, your mum was saying, pray for this, pray for that, because she even could identify that when you prayed, things happened. And that's a powerful testament. And to this day, you know, that anointing is still upon you to pray and see things happen. So I love hearing about that. That's beautiful. So maybe continue telling us more of the story, because I'm sure Alec, your husband that's sitting here today, he comes into the story at some point.
So after leaving school, I travelled down to live in Dunedin in New Zealand, right down the bottom. And during my university days, that's where I met Alec. Alec had also come from a Christian family, and we both held similar values. Alec and I were friends for a year. We then dated for some time and then got married. And I can say Alec is the man of my dreams and a certain answer from God to my prayers. We went along to a quaint little Anglican church in Dunedin, and they had evening services where we were given time to just sit and listen to God. One of those evenings, we were asked to ask God about his dreams for us. And I remember just sitting there waiting on him and feeling his little push that I was to use all the things that I'd learnt through my studies. At that time, it had been a rough time because I'd had three of my supervisors pass away, including one who was supervising me for the thesis I was working on. And a good friend died too. But I really felt the little push, use what, you know, I've put in you. And I found myself going home and applying for a job over in Brisbane, working in an acquired brain injury rehabilitation unit. I was given a phone interview for this job, and it turned out that I was interviewed by a man who knew both my referees. He had worked with them both, and I was blessed I was given the job. We moved to Brisbane, and along the street there was a lovely church called Bayside Christian Family Church. And there we met beautiful people. We enjoyed the services, the music. We learnt to read and study our Bible. We joined a connect group, and Alec and I started praying together. The scriptures tell us a cord with three strands is not quickly broken. Alec and I and the Holy Spirit formed a tight three-stranded cord. We wanted to have children. In the next year, we lost two babies. We had two miscarriages. Alec was keen to start tithing 10% of our income. We prayed and decided to test God for 6 weeks and see what he would do. We pondered over the scripture from Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Within 6 weeks of us starting tithing, we fell pregnant. We bought two gorgeous puppies, exactly what I had been looking for. We bought our first home together. And Alex set up a business. We were so blessed. And we continued to tithe ever since then. We went along for my 12-week scan at my obstetrician's, and they found that there was a tumor on the wall of my uterus, also known as a fibroid. Over the weeks to come, it grew, and it actually grew to what the doctor said was the size of a watermelon. Our medical team was concerned for my baby and for myself. We had no idea if the growth was malignant. We weren't sure how this pregnancy was going to play out. Would I make it? Would Matthew, would my baby make it? Alec and I read and prayed healing scriptures. We chose to speak life into our situation. We aligned our words with the word of God. The scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Our words were important, and they are. We shared with our Connect group and with pastors, and everyone was praying for us. After this, our scan suggested that there was no further growth of this tumor, although it was still the size of a watermelon. My doctors were concerned about the situation and warned me that I may not be able to carry this baby full term. They did not expect I would be able to. I found myself learning scriptures and reciting them as I walked our dogs. God gave me the word, my vine will not cast its fruit before its time in the field. I held this tightly, and I believed I was not going to miscarry this baby, and this baby would go full term. This was a rhema word for me.
And do you want to explain that a little bit? Because, yeah, at the beginning of your story, I love it, that it showed you are a woman of prayer, which I love about you, but I also love that you're a woman that holds fast to the word of God. You know the word of God and you hold fast to it. And so some people might even be wondering, well, what does she mean by that? That it's a rhema word. So do you want to explain what you mean by that?
Sure. So I guess I felt that this verse was something that God had given me that fitted exactly with what was happening in my life. And it was helpful, and it was a word I prayed and just really kept speaking over our circumstances. There have been other rhema words too that, you know, God's given us over the years. But at this time, another rhema word was, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. To me, this meant that Jesus had already suffered for our sins, for our mistakes. He had paid the price, and we could receive healing and his peace. We read Christian books on supernatural childbirth. Alec and I prayed prayers from one of these books on a daily basis, declaring good health for our baby and declaring my healing. We wrote out our prayer points to God. The pregnancy continued on, and we were getting close to our planned date for our caesarean. The weekend beforehand, we said to God, could he confirm our choice of names? We wanted to get this right. We hadn't found out the gender of this baby, but in our hearts, we felt Matthew was to be his name, as Matthew means a gift from God, just how we were feeling. We happened to attend a church conference that very weekend before the birth of this baby. And the preacher said, could all the Matthews please come forward for prayer? At that very moment, I felt a strong kick inside my tummy. And I yelped. It was that strong. Yeah. People looked at me. Alex smiled, and we knew God was giving us our confirmation. This was to be Matthew. So in that particular occasion, the preacher had asked for all sorts of different groups of people to come forward, but it was very cool that he asked for the Matthews to come out just at that time. So we went ahead, turned up for our planned caesarean, and we focused on Jesus. I said the name Jesus, Jesus, over and over. This was a beautiful, Holy Spirit-filled time. I had a caesarean section as this was medically required. My baby was healthy. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, let's give God some praise for that. Amazing. But there's more to the story.
I was still warned, though, however, that I still had a large tumour attached to half my uterus wall. And the doctors were concerned that it might be very difficult for us to have further children and just said, enjoy this. This is, you know, special. A few weeks on from having Matthew, it just happened that we had a healing evangelist visit our church, who was John Mellor. Healing evangelists, they use prayer and faith to bring healing and to help share the good news of Jesus. I decided to go along to one of these healing meetings and took a teenage boy whose mum was quite ill. We stood in the line for prayer. And as we were standing, waiting for our turn, there was a boy beside us who could not see. And after having had hands laid on him, suddenly his eyes opened and he could see all sorts of things. His parents were in the queue with us and they were weeping. And we just knew something was happening up there. I willingly let the preacher John Mellor lay his hands on me, but I wasn't particularly expectant as I hadn't had a miracle, although I really wanted one. A week after that, I felt a heaviness in my pelvis, and I ended up going to see our doctor, who sent me for a scan. The scan showed that the tumour that had been the size of a watermelon had shrunken back to the size of what was described as being like a shrunken apple. And not only that, they said that there was thick calcification all the way around the outside of this tumour, which meant this thing was unlikely to ever do anything ever again because it was contained. Yeah, that was such a blessing.
Yeah, amen.
I still receive solemn news that despite this wonderful healing, I still had a fibroid or a tumour attached to the wall of my uterus, taking up almost half the wall of my uterus, and there was concern that if I did fall pregnant, I may well miscarry and lose my baby. After having Matthew, I started praying with some of the ladies from our church, my sisters in Christ. My passion for prayer really grew through this season. And before long, there was quite a group of us sisters gathering weekly to pray. The scripture says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." And we certainly were seeing God moving and answering our prayers.
Yeah, and I love this part of the story too because, yeah, I think to know you, Heidi, is, as I said, to know that you're a prayer, You hold fast to the word of God, but you also have a real passion for women gathering together and praying. And I didn't warn her that I was going to show this photo, but she has seen it in the 8. And I didn't warn Jenny either, so thank you, Jenny, for letting me show this. But this was a photo that I took during Connect Group 1 week. Just snuck it because it was just so beautiful. And I was going through my phone in preparation for today and stumbled upon it. And I thought, you know, this represents so beautifully who you are, Heidi. And I also know that actually Jenny was part of your story in the early days too. So this is a beautiful picture. But this is who you are. You are passionate about women coming together, gathering together, praying together. I know you're one of the first to say, Beck, can I ever pray for you? Can I pray with you? I'm always here if you want to pray with somebody. I see you offering that to other women. I know that even when that particular Connect group we were part of, when I felt God telling me to kind of reposition myself, you know, you were very quick to say, to put your hand up, you and Kelly, and say, we'll continue this because we believe in the power of women gathering and praying together. So I want to honour you for that. You know, it's obviously been one of those disciplines in your life that's had great fruit, which is why you keep doing it. And I guess I just want to invite you, church, that if you're hearing her story thinking, I'd love to have women like that, I'd love to have women that that I can gather with and pray with, there are groups that you can join to do that. In fact, as I said, Heidi and Kelly run one on Thursday nights. You're welcome to come along and pray with them. There's other groups in the church. We're actually in need of more women's connect groups because I've just been hearing that some of our homes are getting too full of women, that we actually need to start some more. But there's always room for you if you want to find those people to gather with and pray with.
We'd love you to join us in prayer. It's always a blessing when we get together and yes, pray, share our concerns.
And I will also mention, sorry, because I forgot, I mentioned this in the 8 too. If you want to learn how to pray, there's a Connect group on Tuesday nights run by Fran and Anastasia and Becca and a few others that they're actually teaching one another how to pray and putting that into practice. So that would be another good Connect group to maybe consider joining.
Wonderful.
Keep telling us more. I love this.
Yeah. So just on the note of prayer, praying together. So ever since Matthew was a little one, I've got together with good friends. Alec and I, of course, have continued praying too, but got together with girlfriends and we've prayed. And it has been an amazing blessing. We've seen so much, fruit from gathering and God just being so good to us. And it has been, enabled us to have people to be with at times when we need a laugh and when we need a cry too. So just going on with my story, I fell pregnant with my second baby, and this pregnancy did go full term. We named this baby Caleb. We loved the name Caleb, as in the Bible, Caleb followed God wholeheartedly and he entered the promised land flowing with milk and honey. More than a year after we had Caleb, a friend and I got together with another lady from church who had been trying for a baby for some time, several years actually, and was having difficulty not falling pregnant. Soon after we prayed with this lady, she fell pregnant and went on to have her children. Praise the Lord. But at about the same time, my friend and I also fell pregnant, and we both had baby girls who were born less than an hour apart. My friend's little girl is still to this day just like a sister to my daughter. They talk most days. Alec and I named our daughter Zoe, and Zoe means godly life, which is what we desired for our girl. A few years on, we had our number 4 baby, who was Luke. And we loved the name Luke, meaning bringer of light. After having Luke, I still felt the urge for another baby. But this time, Alec was hesitant. He cared about me, and he was unsure, as this would be my fifth caesarean section. I talked with my obstetrician, and he gave me the thumbs up to try for another baby, stating my body had healed very well from each of my previous caesarean sections. He even mentioned that after my first few caesarean sections, my body had healed so well he couldn't find the wound inside of me when he went to cut my uterus open to take the next one out. Alec was unsure. I went out to do some weeding in the paddock where I kept my horse, and found myself talking to God and saying to God, God, can you please bring unity between Alec and I? You are a God of unity. Can you either take this urge to have another baby from me or give it to Alec? I need us to be in unity, God. I went home and I said to Alec, could you please pray, Alec? I'm having trouble with all these weeds. I don't know how to manage this paddock of weeds. I didn't say anything to Alec about my deep prayer for unity. Alec prayed and he said to me, Heidi, God's given me a picture of a number 5. He said, I believe God wants us to have 5 children. The scriptures tell us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. They also say, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. Unity is important to God. We can ask God to give us unity in our relationships, and I'm thankful that God answers our prayers. Shortly after all this, we fell pregnant with number 5. And I remember an early appointment with my obstetrician. He told me he was concerned about this pregnancy. He told me he could not find a heartbeat, and given my dates, it didn't look good. It didn't look like this pregnancy would go ahead. I was unhappy with this news. And I got very sick, so sick I actually was admitted to hospital. Nevertheless, even in my weak state, we continued to give it to God and pray for this baby, pray for life. I asked the doctors if I could please have another scan. And so they did one for me, and found a very soft heartbeat that could only just be heard. This pregnancy continued. Like my other babies, this baby was born on the date of our planned caesarean. We had continued standing on my word that God had given me, my vine will not cast its fruit before its time in the field. God was so faithful and answered at these prayers. We named this baby Noah. We named him after faithful Noah in the Bible, who built an ark before even seeing rain. What faith. We fell pregnant again with number 6 this time. Our 12-week scan revealed sad news. This baby was very unwell and not expected to survive. We also were informed that this pregnancy posed risks to my health. This was tough. I had 5 young kids. We sought wise counsel from pastors and our doctors too. We decided that we would let God guide us to make this choice. The scriptures tell us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We went ahead and we sought the Lord. We prayed, we read the word. We felt guided to go ahead with this pregnancy. This may not be the way God guides everyone. We all have our own situations. But God can guide us. He is our shepherd. The scriptures say, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We all have our own race and our own lane to run in life, and we all need Jesus. This was a difficult season. Alec accompanied me to my obstetrician appointments. Each fortnight we received the same sad news. Afterwards, we would go to the Wednesday night church services and we would sing worship songs, which lifted our spirits. The Holy Spirit comforted us and moved our focus. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We did the journey together, Alec and I, hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, digging close to him. We experienced peace like we'd never experienced before. It was like this big umbrella over us. As the word says, I will say of my Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Indeed, the Lord is our safe place. During this pregnancy, we did everything we could to do the best for the baby. I went along to healing rooms for prayer. I even took a flight to Sydney to go to John Mellor's ministries and get prayer for myself and the bubba. I soaked at the altar for healing. This helped us to find peace and know we'd done all we could. It was over to our God. We thought about names for this child, and David was the name we came up with. David means beloved. And in the Bible, David, as a young boy, overcame the giant Philistine by hurling a stone at the giant with his sling and hitting the Philistine in the forehead. We wanted our baby to be an overcomer, to overcome the giant in his life, to overcome his sickness. During this pregnancy, we had a few visions. At the healing rooms, I was sitting in the waiting room and I had a vision of David walking in the most beautiful meadow with buttercups, a little boy with blue eyes looking very similar to my other little lads. On another occasion, someone prayed over me and said they had a vision of this one in beautiful sunlight. Against everyone's expectation, this pregnancy went on to full term, and David grew to a reasonable size, exceeding expectations. He was lively in my womb. A few days out from our planned date for our caesarean, we were at church and we asked our pastors to dedicate David to the Lord and to pray blessing over this one. We had no idea what would happen. We have dedicated all our babies to the Lord. We understand they are God's children and we want them to walk in God's plan. the night before David's birth, the song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." This came into my head, and this song stayed in my head. I remembered this was the song that I had heard just before my horse died some years ago. This song comes from the scripture, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice." Even when things get tough, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We are all blessed to have Jesus in our lives and to have a pathway to heaven. We got to the hospital for my planned cesarean, not sure what was going to happen. We had a lovely nurse who came with us into theatre and stayed with us throughout this morning. She told us that she had a number of children, all with Christian names. We thought she was Christian. David was born via planned cesarean section. He never took a breath, but his little heart beat for some time. In each of my previous pregnancies, after giving birth, my body temperature would drop, so much so that I had to be wrapped up in a foil blanket to get my temperature back up. And I hadn't been allowed to hold my babies because I was so cold. This time was different. My body temperature didn't drop. I didn't need a foil blanket. I was taken into a private room with Alec and with my baby David to hold. I held him. His little blue eyes were open. I gazed at him with love. Alec was with me, holding my hand. We knew when it was time for David to leave to be with his heavenly Father. We felt a beautiful, strong presence of the Holy Spirit and tremendous sense of peace. At this moment, David's heart stopped beating. I had the pleasure of holding David while his heart beat for nearly 90 minutes. Later that morning, the sweet nurse who had cared for us came and had a word with me and told me she'd felt the Holy Spirit's presence in David's room. She also told me she had not been to church in a long time and she needed to go back. My six-year-old daughter had a word with me after David's birth, and her words were, "Mum, David's first of us kids to ride Bo, our horse who is in heaven." Alec also had visions of our grandparents caring for David. These were comforting. We knew David was in good hands with Jesus.
So I guess at this point, I want you to talk us through how you got through that time, because I'm so aware that in a room of this size there would be many people that have possibly walked the same path. In fact, I know there's some people that have walked a very similar path. Some maybe will in the future. And I know some people might be wondering, oh, normally Mother's Day is like up here, like all positive and flowers and sunshine. But I sensed this year that God just wanted to minister to hearts this morning, and that he wanted Heidi to share her message so that it could encourage and bring healing where healing's needed. And we also want to be a church that talks about the hard times as well as the good times. You know, our lives are a combination of the ups and the downs. But I guess for anybody in this room that maybe they've walked a similar path, maybe they're currently walking a very similar path, or grief of any description, maybe different circumstance, but they're navigating grief, or they're yet to walk that path, but they will in the future. What are some of the things that got you through that time? Because what I love about you is you're still standing. You know, you've walked some hard roads that we've just heard about, yet you're still here with a smile on your face, rejoicing, praising God, found in the house of God, and encouraging others. So what got you through that period of time?
A number of things. One of the things that really helped us was when we came home without a baby, was just the kindness and the goodness of friends, pastors, church, people around us. People were just so generous, giving of their time, making us meals, caring for us. So that love was really very sweet and very precious. Throughout this pregnancy, Alec and I really developed a very strong eternal focus. We love the scripture that says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." This really spoke to us. And we really thought about it and thought about how eternity is forever and our time on earth is very limited. We also recognized that God had answered our prayers, but in his way. He took David home to heaven. He made David healthy and whole in the sunshine. We knew that David would have an eternity with Jesus. The scripture says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. He sees things differently from us. And I guess one of the other things for me was there was pleasure in seeing that he could use our story to help others.
Now I know, are you up to the part? Because you would like to pray over us, but you've got a bit more to go. Hey, you've got, because your story, what I love too about your story is you really, like with the nurse in the hospital, your story actually impacted many people and brought healing to many people. And you did, you held a funeral for him, and that brought healing to people as well. So do you want to share a bit more about that?
Thanks, Beck. We had a funeral for David with family and friends to celebrate his brief life and him being with our Lord and Saviour. At David's funeral, we remembered the lost babies, those who had already gone to heaven and never grown up. We invited our guests to take away a teeny pair of baby booties to remember and celebrate their lost babies now in heaven with Jesus. A special friend of mine attended this funeral. She had lost a boy as a baby many years beforehand, and it so happened that she lost her baby boy on the same day we lost David, same date. Her loss, however, very sadly, led to her walking away from Jesus. At the end of the funeral, she came up to me and said to me, "If only I'd known what you know now." My experiences have given me compassion and helped me understand others faced with similar situations. This has helped me in my work. As the scripture says, he works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We are so thankful for Jesus, our Father, and the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for Alec being by my side the whole way. I'm thankful for church, for pastors, prayer partners, doctors, all those who have cared for us and prayed for us. I want you to know our lost babies are safe. They are content in heaven with Jesus. And more than anything, we all need Jesus and to have an eternity with him. We need to remember this, and we need to link arms with those around us and take as many as we can to have an eternity in heaven, to know Jesus. It is my prayer that this story can bring the lost home to Jesus, can heal people, and ultimately lead us on an eternal journey with Jesus. What God can do for one, he can do for another. I want you to be healed. I want you to have healthy babies. I don't want anyone to have a miscarriage. I want people to conceive when they want to have babies. And most importantly, I want you to have an eternity with Jesus.
Wow. So I know, yeah, the word of God you believe is powerful, we believe is powerful, and you're going to pray that over us in a minute. But thank you. I want to thank you so much this morning for being open to sharing your story, because I've already heard from people earlier this morning that have been deeply touched by you sharing your story and deeply encouraged. So thank you. I do want to let everyone know that, I guess, as you've been listening to her story, I pray it's been a blessing to you. I pray it's been encouraging. I pray it's been healing for you. There's a few things we want to let you know, I guess, about when you listen to Heidi's story. I guess there's some common themes. There's some disciplines that you see in her life that you've mentioned multiple times that have been a strong part of your story and have helped you through. And I guess we just want to encourage you all to kind of, I guess, lean into those same things. So, for instance, we talked about how important gathering with others, you know, you and Alec went to connect groups, you gathered with women to pray, and that helped you immensely. So I encourage you, men, women, find those connect groups, find those prayer partners, find those people to gather with. You know, there's a connect hub out there. Unfortunately, we don't have our connect wall up today, but we've got the app, the QR code there, even on your seat, shows you digitally all the different connect groups. As I said, we need more women's ones as we're running out of space. So maybe God's saying to you, hey, start one so that you can walk more women through their journeys. You also talk, yeah, a lot about prayer. And we're going to offer that this morning. Heidi and Alec have offered that they would actually be honoured to pray for you this morning. So in a moment, we're going to worship and we're going to have the altar open, and they're going to be praying. They've asked some friends that are prayer partners of theirs to pray. We've asked our prayer team to be available. And can I encourage you, for whatever reason, you know, your story might be similar to Heidi's and you would like prayer for that. You'd like somebody to pray with you, or just somebody to talk with you, hear your story and pray with you. Maybe, you know, whatever it might be, whatever journey you're walking, you know, I even love that you mentioned multiple times through your story about the miracles of God. You've witnessed God's miracles and you continue to seek after God's miracles and pray for them. And even though not all your prayers have maybe been answered how you would have chosen for them to be answered or how you would have desired them to be answered, you trust in God's timing, you trust in God's answers to your prayer, you trust in his ways. And you know, you might be sitting here and you need a miracle, you need a healing. There's maybe something going on in your body, or whatever it might be in your life where you need a miracle. We're gonna offer an opportunity for you to come down and be prayed for. Whatever it might be that you want someone to stand with you and believe for, we're going to have a team available to do that. And then the last thing is about the way that you stand firm on the Word of God. And the gift that I'm going to give to you all the women this morning, which we'll just give out, not quite yet, but in a little bit, is all around this idea that we want to be a church that knows the Word of God. We've talked, you know, about our value of we're going to be people that worship in spirit and in truth, and the truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and we're going to be people that stand firm on the Word of God, stand firm on the truth. And so I've put together a little gift for the women to help you do that in your life. But before we finish, I know you want to pray over us. We are going to show a photo of your family, or your kids at least, the kids on earth. Can we honour them? Can we honour Heidi and Alec and their children? Beautiful family of our church. And because this is all of their stories. So thank you to the whole family, wherever you are, because you've allowed your story to be shared, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to many people. Do you want to wrap up, say whatever you'd like to say to close, Heidi?
Thank you, Beck. I would like to declare the Lord's my shepherd over you. This is the psalm my mum sang over me as a little girl as I went to sleep. The Lord is your shepherd. You have all that you need. He lets you rest in green meadows. He leads you beside peaceful streams. He renews your strength. He guides you along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when you walk through the darkest valley, you will not be afraid, for you are close beside the Lord. The Lord's rod and staff protect and comfort you. The Lord prepares a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. The Lord honors you by anointing your head with oil. Your cup overflows with blessings. Surely the Lord's goodness and unfailing love will pursue you all the days of your life, and you will live in the house of the Lord forever. I pray over everyone for God-blessed health, for healthy pregnancies, healthy children. I pray for those who are trying to conceive, I pray for us all to hold on to his word and to hold on to an eternal view of the world and to choose Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.